Hi everyone, and welcome to English for You. I'm Pat.
And I'm Mike.
So, Mike, we're talking about a famous historical figure in today's two-day, or the first day of this two-day article.
Excellent.
Who are some of your favorite historical figures?
Oh my gosh.
Pick a Canadian.
Favorite historical figures, pick a Canadian.
Sure.
Favorite historical figure, I'll have to think about
that. Oh, come on, there must be a few.
I could say someone normal, but I'm trying to think of someone interesting. I will choose, I don't know, you pick one.
Okay, a favorite historical figure of mine, I am going to go back quite a way to Julius Caesar.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go that far back.
You like his salad? Is that why you're a fan of his Caesar salad?
Yes, I was impressed by his contributions to the world of fine dining.
It's true.
But also, by the way, he helped kind of reform the Roman Empire and reform the Republic and usher in the age of the Empire.
All right, that's a pretty good choice.
Okay.
He's not Canadian, but I would say Alexander the Great, also from ancient times, was just an interesting historical figure. Can't say I liked everything he did, but certainly a person who changed the world as we know it. So there you go. Historical figures are well known, much admired in many cases, not all cases, but the main thing is they do kind of change the world, or at least the world they live in at that time.
That's right, and we're going to be looking in today's article about one of these figures and the influence he had over people. His name was Frederick Douglass. Let's read through the first day's article about him.
The Brave Life of Frederick Douglass. In the fight to end slavery in the U.S., many black Americans risked much to make their country a better place. Frederick Douglass stands out in particular. He was born as a slave, but later became an influential writer and newspaper publisher. Douglass was born in 1818 to a female slave. His father was likely her white master. At the age of 6, Douglass was sent to work on a huge farm in the state of Maryland. There he joined about 150 other slaves in brutal conditions. They were routinely beaten and whipped if they didn't work hard enough. He taught himself to read, and he then used the Bible to teach other slaves to read as well. For this, Douglass was punished and sent to work for Edward Covey, a farmer known for his extremely harsh treatment of his slaves. However, Douglass didn't let Covey break his spirit. One day, with the support of other slaves, Douglass fought back against one of his beatings. Covey proved to be weak, and Douglass began the struggle for his freedom.
So the article begins by talking about kind of the time and the place where Frederick Douglass was born and the world in which he was born into. It says, in the fight to end slavery in the U.S., many black Americans risked much to make their country a better place. So, okay, that takes us to the slavery era. So we're talking from like the 18th century into about sort of 2/3 of the way through the 19th century, basically until the end of the U.S. Civil War, which we'll kind of vaguely reference at different points in this two-day article. But we're talking that era. So this is when black people were slaves in the U.S., or in most of the U.S. At that time, there was a bit of a split, as we'll also see. Now, many black Americans risked a lot. They risked their lives. They risked all kinds of things to make their country a better place. When you risk something, you put that thing in danger. So if you risk your life, you're doing something that you could end up dying over. Someone could kill you, or you might just die because it's a dangerous situation. Here we're saying black Americans risked much. So here we're using much to mean a lot, a great deal. Basically, they're risking a lot of things, whether it's their freedom, their lives, you know, their families, could be all sorts of things. Here's another example of risk. You are risking losing your money if you gamble in a casino. Of course, if you go and make a few bets The luck could turn against you and you might lose everything.
Absolutely. We often say gambling is about putting your money at risk. When you put something at risk, you risk it. You put it in some kind of danger. All right. So yes, many black Americans, they did. They risked a lot. They put their lives and other things in danger to improve the country and mainly to get rid of slavery, to end slavery. And next we read, Frederick Douglass stands out in particular. There were many people who did a lot to end slavery in America. We could mention Harriet Tubman. As well, but Frederick Douglass is another one of those sort of giants of history, those people who stand out, who are a little more special or a little more important, not to say that there were also many other people who also helped out, but he does stand out. And yeah, if you stand out, you're easily noticed. You're important. There's something, you know, a little special about you, or at least in that situation, you are a little bit more important or noticeable or special than others like you.
And we say he stands out in particular, and this kind of emphasizes standing out. We say in particular to mean especially, more than any other. So he doesn't just stand out, he stands out in particular. He especially stands out amongst the other black Americans who did things. So, yeah, as Mike said, he is one of the most important figures. The things he did, which we'll learn about, made a huge impact.
All right, let's find out a little bit about his early life. It says, Frederick Douglass, he was born as a slave, but later became an influential writer and newspaper publisher. Very interesting. But yes, he was born, as most black people in America who were born in America at that time, he was born as a slave. A slave is basically a human who is owned by another person. In the same way that farmers own their animals, their cows or horses or things like that, back in those days, farmers, people who owned these large farms or plantations, they would own farm animals, but they would also own humans. And the humans would do the work in the fields, work that is done by machines now or by paid workers back then. They didn't pay them, they would buy them. And then if the slaves had children, those children would also be the property of the farm owner, the plantation owner. And of course, this is something we look at as today as incredibly wrong and almost unbelievable that humans can own other humans. These slaves were not given any money. They could be killed at any time and nothing would happen. And of course, it's as I said, almost unbelievable, but it was a big part of early America. We have an example sentence for this word slave. Many Roman slaves were eventually given their freedom. I don't think many black slaves were eventually given their freedom.
No, they, I mean, it depends when they lived. If they were at the time, as we'll see later in the article,
later on,
when slavery was outlawed and banned. But otherwise, different times in some of the northern parts of America, they became free, and there were a few others who kind of escaped.
When the laws changed.
Yeah, exactly. It was all about the laws. Okay, so obviously, Frederick Douglass was born a slave. He was a black American, and when he was born and where he was born, that meant he was a slave. But he became an influential writer. The word influential means you have influence. You're able to change people's minds. You can affect the creation of laws or the decisions taken by official groups. Basically, as we said in our introduction, you change the world in some way. You do something that has a lasting impact.
Okay, and we also have this word publisher. He became a newspaper publisher later on after he was freed from being a slave or freed from slavery. That's the sort of state or institution of having slaves. So when he was freed from slavery, he eventually became a writer and a newspaper publisher. Well, you can see by the word newspaper there that it has something to do with being a publisher. And yeah, publishing is basically making something that is printed that people read. Books, magazines, newspapers, those are all published. And a publisher, could be a person, but usually we mean a company, the kind of company that makes books, magazines, newspapers, sometimes both. Big publishers will produce all sorts of stuff. We might have specialist publishers who produce only, you know, cooking books or children's books or
English language magazines,
education books, magazines, things like that. Some of the big publishers are ones you've probably heard of. You probably have some of their books at home, but there are publishers of all shapes and sizes, printing all sorts of stuff. all around the world. But if they're publishing, they're making books, magazines, newspapers, something like that. For example, Penguin Random House is the biggest book publisher in the world.
I'm pretty sure
I have quite a few of their books at
home. Yes, yeah. I kind of remember when they were two different ones,
yeah,
but now
they're
both together now, and that makes them one of the biggest.
That's the way of the world.
Okay, so let's look at the start of Frederick Douglass's life. The article says Douglass was born in 1818 to a female slave. Of course, as Mike mentioned, if the slaves have children, the children are also the property of the slave owners, which meant that he was a slave as well, basically from the moment he was born. Because in 1818, in most parts of the US, I'm not sure when the laws began to change in the northern parts, but yeah, that he was black, so he was a slave.
Yes, and his father was likely his mother, her white master. So basically, Frederick Douglass's father was the white man who owned both his mother and, once he was born, and himself. That doesn't necessarily mean they were a couple or they were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Absolutely not.
The master could basically do whatever he wanted with his slaves, and that meant, you know, having babies with them and... Of course, the mother would just be treated as any other piece of property and not as a human being.
Yeah, I do wonder whether the white master kind of ever treated his son differently, if he knew, you know, that
this
boy... I
think it would depend on the person, probably.
Yes, it probably
does. Depend
on
the situation.
Well, what we see is that Douglass was not kept in on the farm or other area where he was born. We see at the age of 6, Douglass was sent to work on a huge farm in the state of Maryland. Now, this is one of the eastern states of the U.S. At the time, it was one of the states where slavery was completely legal. So he was just sent, okay, maybe we're selling you there, or maybe I'm sending you there for some money or whatever, but off you go. You don't work for me anymore, or you're not owned by me. You are now owned by this big farm over there.
There you go. And there, in the state of Maryland, he joined about 150 other slaves in brutal conditions. Well, that was pretty typical for slaves to be living and working in brutal conditions. This adjective brutal means very unpleasant, very difficult, very painful, nothing good. There's nothing nice and pleasant and enjoyable about doing something brutal. Brutal work would be, you know, hard, heavy work that's punishing on your body. And brutal conditions, they probably lived in unheated, very basic buildings, no heat, nothing to cool them in the summer or warm them in the winter. Some of the most difficult things you wouldn't... Today, people probably wouldn't even put their dog to live out in a condition, brutal conditions like that. But back then, it was pretty common, I guess, for slaves to live in sort of unpleasant places like that. And not only where they lived unpleasant, but how they were treated, of course, was also very brutal.
Yes, we see they were routinely beaten and whipped if they didn't work hard enough. Routinely is something that happens regularly or frequently. It's part of a routine, so maybe it's just this happens every day. If you don't work hard, we'll beat you once at 3 and then once again in the evening at 7. It's kind of part of this everyday thing that you do. Here's another example. Leonard's boss got angry with him because Leonard is routinely late for work. Like, it's a routine. It's almost every day, if not every day, he shows up late. Of course his boss is going to get angry. Wonder if he whipped him.
Yeah, well, I hope not. But to whip is to use something which we also call a whip. And a whip is basically a long, thin piece of leather that has been cut and dried so that when it hits the skin after, you know, being moving at a very high speed, the tip of the whip will hit your skin and basically cut the skin open. It's a form of punishment. We use whips. Today, they could still be used on a horse. People might whip a horse. Horse's skin, obviously, is a bit tougher than human skin. But back in the old days with slaves, it was used as a punishment. They might hit them with a stick. They might hit them with their hand, but they would also use whips. And whips, as I said, could give them deep cuts. The cuts would then have scars. And then if a slave tried to escape from the farm, if they were caught, they could just look to see if they had any of these whips. whip scars on them, and that would show people that, yes, this person was a slave. It was used as a form of punishment, very terrible punishment. I can't imagine doing it. I can't imagine having someone do it to me. But back then, it was fairly common. For example, we could say the rider whipped the horse to make it run faster. And yeah, if you see a horse races today, yeah. They still use riding whips or crops, which are
a short one,
a shorter version of it. But as I said, I don't think the horse is a bleed or anything like that. And I've actually heard of horse riders these days getting punished for using too much whip during a race. So
okay. We
don't treat people like that, and rarely horses or animals either, hopefully.
So that was kind of life for Douglas here. But despite all this kind of brutal treatment, he tried to make it sort of work for him. He tried to find his way to a better life. We see that he taught himself to read, and he then used the Bible to teach other slaves to read as well. That's pretty good.
That's very impressive. So he's educating himself. Quite a difficult thing to do when you're living the life of a slave. But his work to improve himself and to help other people read as well was noticed. And it says, for this, for educating himself and trying to educate others for this or for doing this, Douglas was punished and sent to work for Edward Covey, a farmer known for his extremely harsh treatment of his slaves. Wow. So yeah, sometimes the slave owners would trade their slaves. If they had a particularly bad one, they might give one to a neighbor or someone they know, and that new owner would say, oh, don't worry, I'll treat him badly, I'll teach him who's the boss. And this Edward Covey character apparently was a pretty horrible, horrible person who was known for his harsh treatment of his slaves. We had that word brutal just before. Brutal and harsh are very similar, so we could also say he was known for his brutal treatment of slaves. But harsh, brutal, in this case, harsh means cruel, very, very, very vicious, very unkind. There's no kindness or niceness or, you know, love or anything in what you do if you're very harsh. We could talk about people being harsh and or brutal, but we can also talk about other things. Often winter weather might be described as harsh weather, cold and snowy and icy, that very harsh weather. It's not pleasant, it's not nice, it's not comfortable, it's no fun.
And here we're describing the treatment as harsh. The word treatment is the noun form of the verb to treat. So it's kind of how you behave to someone, what you do to them. So harsh treatment means you treat them very harshly. You punish them, you hit them a lot, you're not nice to them. But treatment can also be used in a good way if it's modified by another adjective. You know, the treatment could be very kind, the treatment could be very fair. Here's another way we can use treatment. This luxury spa gives all of its customers the best treatment money can buy. So they're, you know, they get all sorts of nice things. They're looked after very well at this luxury spa.
Yeah.
So Covey treated Douglas very badly.
Absolutely. But it says, however, Douglas didn't let Covey break his spirit. All right. Well, that's good for him. He obviously was a very strong man, this Frederick Douglass, someone we can all definitely admire. He didn't let this cruel owner, this cruel farmer, Edward Covey, break his spirit. Well, let's find out more about this phrase, break one's spirit, because it's our pocket phrase go. So we're going to jump over to that for a quick little lesson, and then we'll be back.
Pocket phrase go!
Hola, 大家好，我就是爱冒险的朵拉，丛林里的珍奇异兽打不倒我。但是呢，没想到来到大城市要和其他同年龄的小朋友相处，哎呀，可真是把我打败了。但是啊，我朵拉可是个冒险家，要去找出失落的王国还是神秘的雪公主，哎呀，都不是问题了。何况呢，只是要跟大家一起上课，这个有什么困难的啦？ They could not break my spirit. 他们呢是无法打倒我的啦。 Spirit 这个字呢就是灵魂的意思，灵魂意志。如果呢一个人的 spirit 他的灵魂意志被打坏了，就表示呢他意志被打垮，失去信心了。 Break one's spirit 就是这个意思啦。希望呢大家也跟我一样哦， Nothing can break our spirit， 没有什么东西呢可以打垮我们的意志啦。
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the article. We've got a couple of sentences to finish off day one. So we know Covey didn't break Douglas's spirit, and we see that one day, with the support of other slaves, Douglas fought back against one of his beatings.
Wow. So
quite a dangerous thing to do. If Covey had enough support, they could have all been killed for this, but this didn't happen.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, for fighting back against your owner, that would be a quick way to be killed, for many slaves. But Douglas, and probably with some, hopefully with some of the support of some of his fellow slaves, they fought back. And then we read in the final sentence of today's part of the article, Covey proved to be weak, and Douglas began the struggle for his freedom. So when he fought back, Frederick Douglass and his supporters, they found what many people find when they fight back against a brutal bully. The bully is often the weaker one. They use their strength to keep you down, but if you fight back, the bully often runs away. And that's basically kind of what happened. So Covey was the weak one, and Douglass began the struggle for his freedom, a struggle for freedom that we will be learning a lot more about tomorrow.
Yep. For now, let's go to today's For You Chat question.
So here, of course, today and tomorrow, we were talking and will be talking about people who fought back against brutal treatment. Frederick Douglass and some of his fellow slaves fighting back against the brutal treatment of the cruel Edward Covey. Now, that was back in America, 150 to 200 years ago. But what about here in Taiwan? That's the focus of our For You Chat question. And the question is, do you know any Taiwanese people who fought back against brutal treatment? How did they do it, and did it work? And we should point out, when I say do you know, it doesn't mean you have to know these people personally.
Mm-hmm.
It means do you know of, or have you heard about or read about any Taiwanese people?
Sure.
Doesn't have to be your best friend.
No. Well, I have some
your
Taiwanese.
Your wife has fought back against your brutal treatment.
Yes, or my students have fought back against their cruel English
your
teacher.
Your homework giving.
No, the only ones that spring to mind easily are, and I might be pronouncing this wrong, the Dou people who fought back against the Japanese when the Japanese were ruling Taiwan. Fought back by kind of killing a lot of them going off to kind of hide in the mountains and the forests where it was easier to escape and hide, and the Japanese couldn't quite bring their full army. Unfortunately, I believe the Japanese ended up by killing them all, or at least kind of trapping them or winning, basically. So, it's very difficult to fight back against brutal treatment. You kind of need a bit of assistance, or you just need to be very, very kind of lucky and persistent to get to make it work, basically.
There's some good advice. If you're fighting back against a brutal farmer, that's one thing. Fighting back against a brutal army is a completely different thing. Pick your battles.
So we'll find out what Frederick Douglass managed to do in tomorrow's article, part two of it. So let's talk to you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Take care.
The Brave Life of Frederick Douglass. In the fight to end slavery in the U.S., many black Americans risked much to make their country a better place. Frederick Douglass stands out in particular. He was born as a slave, but later became an influential writer and newspaper publisher. Douglass was born in 1818 to a female slave. His father was likely her white master. At the age of 6, Douglass was sent to work on a huge farm in the state of Maryland. There he joined about 150 other slaves in brutal conditions. They were routinely beaten and whipped if they didn't work hard enough. He taught himself to read, and he then used the Bible to teach other slaves to read as well. For this, Douglass was punished and sent to work for Edward Covey, a farmer known for his extremely harsh treatment of his slaves. However, Douglass didn't let Covey break his spirit. One day, with the support of other slaves, Douglass fought back against one of his beatings. Covey proved to be weak, and Douglass began the struggle for his freedom.
Vocabulary Review.
Risk.
I got very angry and yelled at my boss, even though I risked my job by doing so. Slave. The town was taken over by an army that forced people there to work as their slaves. Publisher. Emily's publisher printed 1 million copies of her book and sold them in several countries. Routinely. Doctors routinely test older patients for cancer and other age-related diseases. Whip. The rider whipped his horse to make it run faster and jump over the high fences. Treatment. The boss was not well liked because of his cruel and unfair treatment of employees.
智慧小补帖.
Influential. Brutal. Harsh.